grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, we are in Mountain Talk. The gospel lesson that is set for transfiguration happens on a mountain. Why is this mountain so special? Better yet, why is what's happening there so special? The text talks about 6 days afterwards. That means 6 days before something else had taken place. Let's take it back to Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ. And a lot of things happening in between as well. But now, since this mountaintop experience, things are swiftly and quickly changing. This is Mount Hermon, 9,000 feet high, clouds, mountaintop experience, Jesus with Peter, James, and John, whom we call the inner circle, who probably knew the innermost secrets of the kingdom and the king of this kingdom who would come down and bring the kingdom of God down to earth. But again, they are on top of a mountain. In this world of pluralism, people think of mountains. Some say there are as many mountains as there are gods in the world. There is probably a mountain for each of those gods people worship in the world. Many others say there is only one mountain. But there are more than one way to get to this mountain. Yet others say, if you know that there is a mountain and if you know how to climb that, it doesn't really matter what mountain you climb. In the text for today, there is a mountain and a God who speaks from the mountain and draws all people to that mountain, not to that mountain as such, but to listen to the word that comes from that mountain. And we have Peter, James, and John who have this message. It is usually Jesus' lifestyle that he would draw the disciples to himself and take them to a private place and talk to them about something special. We call them the secrets of the kingdom. And such a secretive experience takes place within the inner circle of the disciples here. And when they go there, Peter, James, and John, especially Peter, is so enthused that something unusual is happening, and he says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. In fact, they were able to see Moses and Elijah with Jesus. What an elating experience, an ecstatic experience. The Old Testament has come alive in the persons of Moses and Elijah, and now Jesus standing amidst them. It is really good for us to be here. That's the human part of it. But the text goes on to say, reminding us of the baptism of Jesus, a heavenly voice coming and saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Remember the Greek, akouo. Listen to him. Not the mountain, not the glamour, not the clouds. But listen to him. Press that word akouo and go on with akoluteo. If you listen to him, you will follow him as well. That's what counts, following Jesus by listening to him. We may not need a mountaintop experience for that, although by listening to him, we might be raised to a mountaintop experience. That's precisely what's happening here. God's presence with us. In the Old Testament, many instances, mountaintop experiences where God revealed himself. But for us today, where the word comes down to us, God is present. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And the story would stop there pretty much in the Old Testament. But here Jesus says, don't be afraid, get up. It is time to go. These mountaintop experiences take us to another mountain, Mount Calvary, where he will not have the company of the disciples. Even the closest company would droop down and sleep. And Jesus would come back and ask them, "Can't you even wake up for an hour with us, with me?" On this mountain, he will be hanging alone between God and man, between heaven and earth, all by himself, taking all of us and our sins with him to hang on that tree, so that by his hanging, our sins shall be forgiven and our freedom shall be won from its consequence, even death. That mountain may appear to be a mountain of defeat, but it is really a mountain of victory. And from that mountain on, the story of the church and the story of Jesus shall go on. Later, after he would rise again, Jesus would also take the disciples onto another mountain. We don't know what the name it is, but another mountain in Galilee. Remember, that's where it all began. When the Son of God became human and started his public ministry in the earth, it was in Galilee the whole story began. Now, after the resurrection, he would take his disciples to this place on another mountain and then send them out to go to all the world, to the ends of the earth, and make disciples of all nations. People are stuck with mountains. Mount Fujiyama in Japan is 12,500 feet high, but it's volcanic. You don't want to go up to such mountains. Mount Everest is perhaps, obviously, the tallest mountain in the world, up the Himalayas, 29,028 feet, but it's all ice there. But this mountain of the Lord is where the Lord lives. High and lifted up, the Lord will establish his temple on this mountain, and this shall be the chief of all mountains. It will be raised above as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above all hills, and all nations shall stream to it. Isaiah said this. That's so special about this mountain, where the Lord shall reign supreme. And when people flock to that mountain, all the other hills shall be raised, lowered, and all the valleys shall be raised. We shall all be on the same plane when God lives among us. When in the face of Jesus Christ, we shall all be able to see God as he is. There shall be no mountains and valleys, because we shall all be together. All because of this mountain called Calvary, where it all happened. For such a message for us to hear, and for such a message for us to listen to, the Lord who called us this message also tells us, go again. Tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere, that the one who hung on the cross on a mountain is the Lord of all. May God grant us to follow in his steps, to listen to him and to walk with him until he comes and takes us to home into eternity. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.